بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين بسائر الصلوات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجهم. So during these nights we've been discussing this concept of taqwa, and we've moved on from that. Now we have now reached the results that take place in one's life when they are able to apply this concept to their lives. And we went through, I think, 3-4 of these results up until now. Then we said that there are certain tendencies that because of these tendencies, we're not able to carry out taqwa the right way. Please assign another salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So we went through a couple, or I think the first one, of these tendencies, and that was this, that when it comes to the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we end up doing, and this is something that we learn from the society that we live in, is this, that we start arguing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we start rationalizing things. When He says, do this for me, instead of just taking care of it, what we end up doing is we try to figure out why He's saying that. We try to find out the reasoning behind it. And then we say, okay, if this is the reason why you want me to do this, then I'll do it in this way and I'll still fulfill this purpose. So for example, and this is the example I gave last night, it applies to both men and women. It applies to the brothers and the sisters, to both genders. That when it comes to the issue of hijab, there are certain rulings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you and I that you have to go from A to B. They're clear cut, basically. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have to do this. He's not giving you a principle and telling you to fulfill a certain purpose. He's not telling you to be a modest person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not told you when it comes to hijab, whether men or women. He doesn't just tell you, dress modestly. How do I do that? Whichever way you want to. Just dress modestly. No. No, He tells you, listen, there's this part to this part you have to cover. Whether you think that is dressing modestly or not, whether you think that's going to stop you from doing other sins or not, that doesn't matter to Him. The ruling is clear cut. As opposed to other times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not a clear cut ruling. He will tell you what He's trying to fulfill, and then He will leave the details up to you. He will say, I need you to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Oh Allah, how am I supposed to do that? What are the details? Tell me what sentence I'm supposed to say when I'm going to do that. He's not going to tell you that. That's up to you. The details are up to you. So He says, you look into each and every case, even each and every situation. However you see fit, you're going to act according to that. Yes, He'll give you some general principles when you're going to do amr bil ma'roof, when you're approaching that person for the first time. When you're talking to him, you have to talk with soft speech. You can't insult that person. That's why Prophet Musa, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling Prophet Musa to go to the Fir'aun, He said, when you're going to the Fir'aun, he was addressing Prophet Musa and his brother. He said, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. What does layyin mean? Lenient. Because it's the first approach. And who is this guy going to talk to? He's going to talk to Fir'aun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you some general principles, but then He will say the details, that's up to you. Okay. Sometimes, like I just mentioned, it's not like that. He says, I want you to go from A to B. I want you to pray in this particular way. If you add a waw, if you add any other letter to your salat on purpose, and you say this is also part of prayer, it's going to be batil. It's going to be batil. Oh Allah, you said, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ, pray to me because of your remembrance, to remember me. What difference does it make if I say Surah Al-Fatiha or I say Surah Al-Ikhlas first? At the end of the day, it's for your remembrance. I'm remembering you, I'm thinking of you, I'm praying to you, I'm bowing down to you. He says, yes, but I want it in this particular way. So there are two types of rulings. We said that if we come knocking on the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then thinking, contemplating, arguing, rationalizing things, it's no longer time for that. Yes, you want to use your intellect? You want to contemplate things? Bismillah. When it comes to your usul ad-deen, you want to believe in your usul ad-deen? Think all you want. Contemplate all you want. You have questions? Discuss the questions. Bring them up. But after you have passed that stage, you say, okay, yes, I am amongst the followers of Abu Abdullah. I want to be in his majlis. I'm wearing black. I'm here. Then if Abu Abdullah tells you to do something, then don't turn around and say, no, I'm not supposed to do it this way. I'm supposed to do it that way. Now we're going to go through a story of the Quran. And when we go through these stories, I make sure that we go through the verses themselves. We can go through the story and I can just mention the story quickly. But we want to go through the verses because the words of the Quran, they're powerful. They have nur with them. Please recite the salawat. So this is a story of, and I mentioned this last night, it's a story about who? Bani Israel. And wherever you look in the Quran, there's some sort of a footstep of Bani Israel. And you know, Bani Israel, it wasn't just Prophet Musa, it was a number of prophets that they had. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating this story of one of the prophets that came to Bani Israel after Prophet Musa. Prophet Musa has come, he's passed away. Now another prophet has come to them. These are verses 246 to 249 from Surah Al-Baqarah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألم ترى إلى الملأ من بني إسرائيل من بعد موسى. Have I not told you about the story of Bani Israel after Prophet Musa had passed away? What is this story? How does the story start? Bani Israel, they were under pressure. They were being oppressed. So what do? They turn to their prophet. They say, "Ya, prophet of ours, what we need you to do is we need you to assign someone that we can all gather under his flag, and through that we can defend ourselves. Because you know better than I do that if you're going to defend yourself, you're going to take care of a task that requires a collective effort, then you're going to need someone who's going to take on the responsibility of making the calls. He's going to lead. So they turn to their prophet. They say, "Oh, prophet of Allah, appoint someone who is going to take on this responsibility for us." Before we go on with the rest of the story, realize and notice how they're coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're knocking on the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have a problem. Say, "Oh Allah, give us a solution to this." The same way us as individuals, we have a problem. We go knocking on the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, "Oh Allah, without you, I'll be lost. I don't know what to do in my life. Tell me what to do." So we're the ones who go and knock on his door first. So these guys are coming to who? They're coming to their prophet first. They're knocking on the door of the prophet. Give us something. Give us a solution. إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيٍّ لَهُمْ إِبْعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا. Choose a malik, someone who has authority over us. Why? نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So that we can defend ourselves. The prophet, he knows Bani Israel. He's lived with these guys. So before going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking for this request or anything like that, first he asks this question. He says, قَالَ هَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالِ أَلَّا تُقَاتِلُوا. Are you the type that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints someone for you and says, "Now go defend," that you'll step back? I know you're coming to me, you're knocking on my door for a solution, but are you the type that if I give you the solution, you just walk away? Or no, you really want that solution. You're going to act upon it as well. Their answer.
قَالُوا وَمَا لَنَا أَنْ لَا نُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ.
Why wouldn't we want to fight for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا. And we have been sent out of our cities. We've been oppressed. Why on earth, if you told us who we're supposed to gather under his flag, why on earth will we stand there and say, no, we're not going to fight anymore? No, we have problems. We're coming to you for your solution. So the Prophet says, okay, so you want this solution. You're really looking for the solution to this problem. So the time comes where they have to gather and they have to defend themselves.
وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ.
The Prophet turns around to them and says this, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen someone for you. You remember you knocked on my door? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted your request. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا. He has chosen Talut. What do they do very quickly? They rationalize. They try to figure out why Talut has been chosen. And then say, okay, if that's the purpose why you have chosen him, well, let's fulfill the purpose through this way. Why go through that way?
قَالُوا أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ عَلَيْنَا.
How come he has authority over us?
وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمِلْكِ.
This guy, Talut, was not even from Bani Israel. Now you want to bring him into this group and you want to make Bani Israel, who are from the family of these prophets, this chain of prophets, you want to bring someone from the outside and you're telling us he's going to have authority over us?
أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ عَلَيْنَا.
No, how come he has authority over us? First issue, he does not come from the family and the lineage that we're expecting, the lineage of the prophets. Because Talut didn't come from that lineage.
وَلَمْ يُعْتَ سِعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ.
And he's not that rich either, he's not that wealthy either. Why are you choosing him?
قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen him upon you.
وَزَادَهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ.
وَزَادَهُ بَسْتَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ. When it comes to knowledge and when it comes to his physical strength, he can take care of things. You don't have to worry about things.
وَاللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you come, you ask for someone who has authority. That's all you do, you ask. Then when he appoints, يُؤْتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He gives it to whoever he wants. Don't hang around and say, no, I'm telling you to give someone authority and to give authority to the person that I want you to give authority to. No.
وَاللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ.
Whoever he wishes. Then the Prophet goes on explaining that there is a sign that Talut is the person who has authority, and that sign is that the Tabut is going to come to you. The Tabut was taken away from Bani Israel. So the Tabut is going to come to you, the angels will be carrying the Tabut. Imagine that Bani Israel would see this with their own eyes. Some of us, sometimes we think, we say, yes, if we lived at the time of the Prophet, if we lived at the time of Imam al-Hussein, we would be different people. Not necessarily. Bani Israel, they walked through an ocean that split for them. An ocean that split for them. Me and you can't even imagine that. What we're thinking of right now is a lake. That's what comes to your mind. You think of a lake and it's splitting and you're... No, an ocean. Ocean, planes go into oceans. You never even find these planes. An ocean split for them. They passed through the ocean. They saw Fir'aun drowning. When they get to the other side, they see a group of people who are worshipping idols. They turn to Prophet Musa, they say, how come our Lord isn't like this? How come we don't have a Lord that we can see? Wouldn't it be easier that way? How come they can just bow down to their prophet, to their Lord, but our Lord we cannot see? How come you don't appoint a Lord for us like their Lord? Now when we think of this, we say, oh, this is Bani Israel. We've heard so many bad things about them. But I remember, there's one point my father used to make, when we used to go through these verses, he says, listen, don't sit there pointing fingers to Bani Israel. If you see there is Bani Israel all over your book, you can find Bani Israel all over the Quran. If you see Bani Israel all over the Quran, it's because you're acting like Bani Israel. Or else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to sit there and tell you about Bani Israel. Why would you want to tell you about Bani Israel? No, it's because you're acting like Bani Israel. He's telling you, listen, this is what Bani Israel did. I don't want you to be like this. So let's not sit here and point fingers. No, no, this is something that we deal with as well. Rationalizing. And then taking our own routes to figure out things. So what happened? These guys, with their shaky beliefs in Talut, they started moving with the army of Talut. فَلَمَّا فَصَلَ طَالُوتُ بِالْجُنُودِ He moves from the cities, now he's going to go against who? Jalut. قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِالنَّهَرِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test you with a river. Once again, you can see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests these guys. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِالنَّهَرِ فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي Whoever drinks from this river, فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي He's disobeying me. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي إِلَّا مَنْ اِغْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ And whoever does not drink from it, he's from me. He has obeyed me. The only amount that he can take is how much? A handful. غُرْفَةً بِيَدِهِ Once again, rationalizing. Don't you want us to fight in the battle? Don't you want us to be victorious? Don't you want us to free our people? We're on the way to the battle. You're telling us not to drink water? Rationalizing again. No, 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 no. I know we have to fight, but this is how we're going to do it. Not after you knocked on his door and asked him for a solution. This is before. You want to make a decision on your own? Bismillah. There are certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not interfere with, basically. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, you wanna cook, I don't know, cake? Huh? You cook the cake any way you wanted to. If it's Iranians, they're gonna cook the cake. You're gonna find what in it? You're gonna find, I don't know, some fruit in there. If it's other ethnicities, you'll find other things in there. It's a chocolate cake, but you'll find other things in there. If it's our Lebanese brothers and sisters, you'll find other stuff in there. I don't mean to get into that. Okay, you want a cake to cook? You want to cook the cake yourself? Okay. But if you come, you ask this person, you say, how am I supposed to cook the cake? And then he tells you, this is how you're supposed to do it. Then don't sit there and say, no, I think we should do it this way. If you think you should do it that way, why do you call me asking him? Don't ask him. Go do your own thing. So that you know, I am not amongst the followers of this person. Things are clear to yourself. They're going to the battlefield. The Prophet says, or Talut says, you cannot drink from the water on the way to the battlefield. Except for one handful. Okay, so those who are going to rationalize again, they're going to try to be smart with Talut. What are they going to do? They're going to drink as much as they want. فَشَرِبُوا مِنْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُمْ Only a small group of them did not drink from the river. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَهُ هُوَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعْهُ Then when they passed this river, now they're passing the river to actually confront the enemy. قَالُوا لَا تَاغَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمِ بِجَالُوتِ Those who had drank from the river, what did they say? We can't take fighting. They lost their energy to fight. لا طاقة لنا If you ask for a solution, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a solution, then you go by that solution. The results, that's not up to you. You don't worry about the results, right? When you take a look at the situation that Prophet Yusuf was in. The verse says that Zulaykha, when she came, she locked the doors. But not a normal way of locking them, no. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. The Mufassirin say, غَلَّقَ is different from just locking it. No, she made sure there's no way out. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. Okay. Now Prophet Yusuf knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to run. I want you to run. Where to? He doesn't know. Why? وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. The doors are closed. He just knows that if he can delay this for 5 seconds, he has to delay it. That's all he knows. He knows that if I have to run from here to that corner of the room, then I have to do that. The results, Prophet Yusuf may not know. If it was so up to Prophet Yusuf and he was sitting there rationalizing things for himself, said, yes, well, this is going to happen anyways. Let me just... No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, listen, if I'm telling you the solution, you take my solution and you don't worry about the result. The result is on me. I want you to go from A to B for me. You run. If it's in your best interest, then I will open the door for you. Then I'll send her husband. What you have to worry about is what? Running. That's what we have to worry about. So these guys, they drank from the river. All of a sudden, they said, لا طاقة لنا. We can't even fight. What happened? The smaller group of the army carried on. They moved on. قال الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو الله. Those who were sure about seeing Allah on the Day of Judgment. قالوا كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة. There are many groups that have lower numbers. But because they carry out their duty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the results. Because they're worrying about their duty, not the results. ولما برز لجالوت وجنوده قال ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت اقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. And we've heard the story of how Prophet Dawood was able to kill Jalut. This is a story that shows us that, listen, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, He tells you what you're supposed to do, then time for using your intellect, your mind, being smart, being intellectual, that's over. That was before going to Him. This is one of the tendencies that we have that we do a lot of times. I'm going to go through, in the time that we have, I'm going to go through the second one that we have. And this also causes serious issues for us. This one is slightly different from the one that we were discussing. This one is not getting smart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't sit there, rationalize, bring arguments. No, you make excuses. His ruling is clear to you, but you make excuses. You say, what do you mean? This is once again another story from Bani Israel. Wherever you look, who's there? It's Bani Israel is there. In this story, it's mentioned at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Bani Israel came to Prophet Musa. They said, we have a problem, knocking on the door again. What's the problem this time? Someone has murdered a victim. The problem that we have is we don't know who did it. So either we're going to go against every other tribe that's out there and take revenge from every other tribe that's out there, or we find out who did it and then we deal with that tribe. Because you know, back then, if they didn't find out who it was, they take out their toll on everyone. That's why when they came to kill the Prophet of Allah on the night that he was leaving to migrate. They said, what? They said, we're going to choose this young men that were going to come with swords. They said, we're going to choose them from different tribes, so that when they find out who these people are, they can't go against everyone. So this is a prophet that Bani Israel has. Bani Israel says, someone has been murdered. We need to find out who it was that murdered. Okay. So they come knocking on the door of Prophet Musa. Prophet Musa, once again, he says, okay, I'm going to speak to my Lord. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, if you want to figure out who murdered this individual, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا what? بَقَرًا. You have to slaughter a cow. قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا. Are you making fun of us? We're trying to find the person who murdered the victim, and now you're telling us go to a cow, slaughter a cow. أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا. Do you think this is a game? قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. No, I'm not an ignorant person to sit here and just point you in like different directions. No, there's a reason. Now the excuses start. قَالُوا دُعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِيَ. Go call that Lord of yours. And Bani Israel had a habit of when they talked to Prophet Musa, they never said, our Lord. They said, who? Your Lord. Go talk to that Lord of yours. يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِيَ. Tell him to tell us, what does he mean by cow? Prophet Musa says, slaughter a cow? What does he mean by cow? You don't know what he means by a cow? Okay. So when you start making excuses like this, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He says, okay, you want to play it like this? We're going to play with the new rules. Every excuse you make, I'm going to make it more difficult. Until you figure out that this path that you're going down is wrong, I'm going to make it more difficult. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He didn't say, just get any cow and slaughter it. No. He said, قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ لَا فَانِذٌ وَلَا بِكْرٌ. It's not too fat. It's not too thin. Something in between. Okay. How many cows are there like that? I don't know. 1,000, 2,000. Did they stop there? Prophet Musa says, فَفْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَنُونَ. Do what I'm telling you to do. Now you know. Okay. قَالُوا دُعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا لَوْنُهَا. No, we're not going to stop there. Go talk to that Lord of yours. Tell him to tell us, what color is this cow? Making excuses. What color is this cow? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, you want to make excuses? Let's make it more difficult. إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ صَفْرَى. It has yellow in it. Now how many cows are there like that? Oh, it's very difficult now. فَاقِعٌ لَوْنُهَا تَسُرُّ النَّاظِرِينَ. It's the type when people see it, it brings happiness to them. When they see the color, they like the color. You would think they would stop there, huh? قَالُوا دُعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِيَ. Tell us, go once, one more time. Go and ask more about the details. What exactly does he mean by the cow? إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا. We don't know which one he's talking about. It has become متشابه for us. We don't know exactly which one he's talking about. وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to tell us, we would have been guided. If he would just tell us what he means. قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ لَا ذَلُونٌ تُثِيرُ الْأَرْضَ وَلَا تَسْقِ الْحَرْثِ. They don't use this cow for agriculture either. قَالُوا الْآنَ جِئْتَ بِالْحَقِّ. Now you told us what we're supposed to do. How come you didn't say this from the beginning? فَذَبَحُوهَا. They slaughtered the cow, and this is what I'm going to end with, inshallah. فَذَبَحُوهَا. They slaughtered the cow. وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. And even at that point, it was as if they were almost not going to do it, even at that point. فَذَبَحُوهَا. فَذَبَحُوهَا. They slaughtered the cow. وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Even at that point, they had doubts about doing it or not doing it. This attitude of making excuses, brothers and sisters, is something that is very dangerous for us. This is exactly what happened when it came to the Khilafah of the first Imams. At least some who were present at that time, Lady Fatima al-Zahra, she would go with her children to door, telling them that, don't you know that the person who has been chosen is not this person? Say, yes, we know. But the thing is, he's already in charge now. Why should we change things? Already in charge. This is a serious issue. This is a serious threat for us. I'm going to end with that. Inshallah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to go through the musibah of someone who has been on the side of Aba Abdullah throughout the years, throughout the days, throughout the months, the difficulties that Aba Abdullah he goes through, the difficulties that Lady Zainab goes through. They are able to go through it because they have this person by their side that helps them. Ya kashif al-karb an wajh al-Husayn. He's the one that takes care of the issues. This is no one but Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Inshallah, the brother will recite for you. Then Abbas, he comes, he asks for permission. Imam al-Husayn definitely has tears in his eyes. Starts speaking to Abul Fadl al-Abbas that you're my flag bearer. Where would I let you leave? Where do you want to go? These children are thirsty. And we've heard the story of how he goes to the battlefield not for the sake of fighting, but for the sake of bringing back water for the children. But the ulama say that there is one point in which Abul Fadl al-Abbas really went through a hard time. That probably wasn't even his shahada. They say on the way back, when he was coming back from Furat and he had some water with him, we've heard that they started attacking him. They knew that they wouldn't be able to get him. They surrounded him. They struck the right hand of Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Abbas is not going to give up there. He's promised a 6-month-old. He's promised a 3-year-old. He's going to continue. Abbas continues. There is only one point where Abbas, فَتَحَيَّرَ الْعَبَّاسِ. Abbas doesn't even know what to do at that point. That is when these arrows are coming towards Abul Fadl al-Abbas and he's taking them with his body. A couple of these arrows, they hit the water. And the water starts pouring out. And so does the hope of Abul Fadl al-Abbas starts pouring out with this water as well. This is where they say that Abbas didn't know what to do. He's supposed to go right or he's supposed to go left? Is he supposed to go back to the tents or he's supposed to go back to the river? It's too late, Abbas. They strike Abbas on the head. Abul Fadl al-Abbas comes down to the ground. He calls out, Ya Akha, Adrik Akha, come to the help of your brother. Hussein starts running to meet the body of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. And Abbas only has one request. He says, I know, Hussein, today everyone who passes away, you take back their body to the tent. But my request, Hussein, is that today you don't take back my body. Because while you take back these bodies, you're going to pass through the tents. What are the children going to say? What are the daughters of yours going to say? When they see the body of mine, they will know that it's now time for captivity. From this point on, the disrespect is going to start for the Ahlul Bayt. From this point on, they don't have a man that they can lean on. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون